Will you join me in our prayer for illumination? Almighty God, as we read your scriptures and proclaim your word, reveal to us the truth of your love and power. Amen. Amen. Well, today we shift gears into a new season and into a new topic altogether. We've been doing lots of parables and images of what the kingdom of God might look like, and now it is time to put it into action, to take the reins, to take all those images and those concepts and look at how we are the hands and feet of Christ, how we are to love one another, to take it from this concept into reality. Let it be realized. Let it be manifest. Today we're going to, and through this Advent season, we're going to do that through the lens of the five love languages. Has anyone ever read this book? A couple? Five love languages? Just two? Anybody ever heard of it? All right, a couple more. All right. Well, I'm glad because it was new to me when I first read it, and I've read it many times since. I've shared it many times since. If you ever come to me for couples counseling, this is where we're going to start. This is the beginning of loving each other well, and that's what the book is focused on. The book is focused on partners, about marriage, about restoring marriage, about communicating well in marriage, about loving each other well in marriage. But we're gonna take those concepts and put them into a church reality. You know, we are called to love one another. We are called to be Jesus in this world. We are called to love our neighbor as we would be loved, as we love ourselves. We're called to love God as we do all this first and foremost. And the concepts in this book, the method for loving, the five love languages are beyond marriage. They are love. They are how we as humans communicate love to each other. It's been valuable to me. To my marriage, it's been valuable to every person I've seen apply this to their marriage, and it's been valuable in taking it out of the marriage alone concept and applying it to every relationship, applying it to every interaction that we have. And so I'm going to generally, lightly cover what this is about, what these love languages are. We can kind of see them up here. There are five major languages, five brackets of loving one another, loving our partner, or loving whoever the target of your outreach might be, and they are categorized into their own languages, and that's how this book applies them, and that's how we're going to look at them in the weeks to come. There are acts of service. So if you love someone, you serve them. If someone loves you, they serve you. There are words of affirmation. Words like, I love you. I'm behind you. I'm with you. I support you. No, even if you're messing up, I'm on your side. Even if you don't feel like you can do this, I love you through it all. You think that doesn't apply to faith, to church, to community? It goes well beyond marriage. When we love one another, we have to use these words of affirmation. God does. Receiving gifts. That's going to be an easy week. What great gifts does God give, and how are we called to give right back? We're going to save that one for Christmas. Physical touch, that one might be a little bit harder to apply to God loving you, unless you've felt that hand of God upon you. Or if you've ever been loved well by someone and through them you've felt the touch of God, physical touch communicates love and quality time. Spending real time, not just sitting beside each other, one watching TV, one reading a book, but being together and engaged. That's a key communication to loving each other in relationships and with God. We are called to be in constant prayer. Constant prayer. That means we are engaged, spending quality time communicating with God. Those are the five love languages. Those are the concepts we're going to cover each week. But here's what we need to understand in order to go forward, is that we all speak all of these languages. But just like if English is your primary language and you might know a little bit of French and even less Spanish and maybe two words in Chinese, we all have a primary language. And each person is different. Each person has kind of a graph of, for me, physical touch, quality time, words of affirmation, those are pretty high on my list. Receiving gifts is still good, but it doesn't quite connect quite as deeply. And so what we're going to do in this season is explore each of these languages, but get to know ourselves as well. Next week, you'll receive in your bulletin a survey. It's a test, and it applies to the romantic side of this, but it's about you. It's about what connects with you. When someone, and it's all an A or B, if the person you love walks with their hand around your shoulder, or stops and ties your shoe for you. That's a physical touch or an act of service. Which one resounds with you better, right? And so there'll be all these questions to kind of get an idea of what your love language is, what your primary love language is. And that's important because your love language, your primary love language might be acts of service. You might feel loved when other people serve you. If someone shows up and rakes your leaves for you, that might be the most loving thing you've ever experienced. You might think, wow, that person loves me, and I had no idea. If acts of service is your love language. But if acts of service is not your love language, and I show up and rake your leaves, you might think, thanks. Maybe next week too, if you can. But it's not going to resound. It's not going to resound as love. It's not going to feel like, wow, that person loves me. That's why you have to know yourself well and why this applies. The commandment is love God above all else, love your neighbor as yourself. We have to love ourselves. We have to know ourselves well in order to love well. We have to know what takes home in our hearts, what resounds in our hearts as love, and we have to know the target of our love as well. So if acts of service is my primary love language, my first reaction is going to be, that person needs to know they're loved. I'm going to go mow their lawn. I'm going to go whatever it may be, sweep the floor, make dinner, whatever it is, an act of service. But if acts of service is not that person's love language, it's just going to feel like a nice gesture. It's not going to feel like love. That's why we cover this in couples counseling, in marriage talks, whatever it may be. You might have people actively trying to love each other, and it's just not getting through. Because we are all holy love buckets. I know that's a strange word, and it might even sound like I'm calling you a bad name, but that's what it is. We are holy love buckets. You might see my bucket right here. This is my holy love bucket. This, every one of us carries one of these all the time. And throughout the day, throughout life, throughout relationships, we hope to be healthy, to be loved, that this bucket is full. For me, if my primary love language is quality time is bigger to me. It's like a rock. It's like a potato. I could fill this bucket with big potatoes. But receiving gifts, if that's not my love language, that's small potatoes, and it's going to fall through the holes. It might even be like sand to me. And so for you to love me well, you need to know my love languages in order for it to feel big to me, big enough to remain in my bucket and not slip through. Does that make sense? Yeah. We all desire our love bucket to be full, but we all have holes in our buckets. And for each of us, a different language slips through, makes it through the holes. And so if you're pouring out your love in one way to a person that doesn't receive it well, it's just falling through. It's not being retained in the bucket. And so there's a thing that has to happen. We have to know ourselves well. We have to know what it is primarily that makes us feel loved. And if we're going to target someone, a neighbor, a church member we haven't seen in some time, a loved one, a broken relationship, a parent, whatever it might be, if there's been strain or there needs to be new connection, we have to think beyond ourselves and ask. We have that communication ends up being the key to it. And whether or not that person knows themselves well or not, but they're signs. And as we explore each of these things, you'll think back on those people you love and realize, you know, quality time is probably their love language. We've tried all gifts. We've said nice words. We've served them. We've hugged them. And all they've ever wanted was someone to just be there with them, paying attention, communicating, spending quality time. It's a difficult thing. In ministry especially, we lack that communication. We lack that letting people know how we are loved. Mostly because we don't know, but also it's not super comfortable to say, if you're going to love me, this is how to do it. You know, this is, if you really want to show me that you love me, here is the way. And the way I always see it play out, the way I always, it always comes to life is in grieving, in funerals. When someone loses a loved one, a husband or a wife or someone very dear to them, we, the church, are right there saying things like, if you need anything, let me know. I've heard that phrase 1,000 times. I've probably said it that many times, and I bet you might have as well. We want to love them. We want them to know they're not alone, that they are loved, that they are dear to us, and we say things like, if there's anything you need, just let me know. And that doesn't go anywhere. No person grieving is going to call and say, You know, you made that offer. Could you come rake my leaves? Or could you come do my dishes? Or could you come just sit with me and be with me? But what if we changed that? What if we knew ourselves well enough that when someone reached out with an offer like that, instead of saying, thank you, that's nice, what if you said, you know, my deceased husband always made dinner every night to the point I don't even know how to cook. What if my wife passed and I said, I haven't done laundry in 20 years. You might notice. No. What if we knew ourselves well enough that when someone was grieving or when someone was in need of their bucket being filled, we were able to say, I know how to love me well. And if you really mean that, if you really mean it when you say, can I do anything? I could say something like, I could just use a hug, physical touch. I had that person my whole life, and now I don't. When we were in Williamsburg, Michigan, we partnered with a aging care facility. They all have different names, but it was called Hope. And at Hope, Amy worked there as a caretaker. She did everything that I can't imagine for people that she didn't know. It was an act of love. It was service. It was quality time. It was conversation. It was physical touch. It was all those things. And the church partnered there as well. We did a weekly Wednesday church service every week with the residents of that facility. And I grieve for them all the time, for those people that have a love language, and sometimes the things that take place there are bucket fillers, and sometimes they're not. And if that love language is being communicated, those people do well. And if it's not being communicated, they don't do as well. And it's not just those facilities. It's everywhere. It's everything. There are people today at home who are a part of this church who are thinking things like, that church has never loved me well. And that goes with every church. There are people that actively think right now that we don't love them well. And maybe we just don't know their language. We don't know what to do. Today we're going to start with service. Acts of service. I've mentioned dishes and cooking and Jesus loved well. Jesus teaches us daily how to love. God speaks love through all of these languages. And when we take a look at breaking them into those categories and we think about how God loves us, how Jesus teaches us to love, and how Jesus loves us, and how Jesus loved his disciples, that amazing moment comes to mind when he served them by washing their feet. From John 13, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. It's a tough concept. It's a tough thing to turn into reality. And as a church, as a congregation, we kind of have to do it in full, broad strokes in every language. It might be a little bit impossible to know every single person's love language, to have it in a registry in the office. So if this person is ill, we look it up and say, oh, their love language is quality time. Send someone in to spend some time with them. It's a possibility. If we know that they're someone is grieving and that they're, we go and look that person up and say they took the test. Physical touch is their love language. Let's line up the hugs. It's possible. It's hard. So we kind of have to do broad sweeping strokes of every language. We have to be continually sowing seeds of love. How can we serve our church? How can we serve our community? How can we reach out and serve people well? And it might not resound, it might not stay in the bucket, but for some it might feel like abundant love. And then next week maybe we do quality time, and next week we do hugs, and next week whatever the other ones are, receiving gifts. These five concepts, I hope you'll kind of take them home and think about them. Next week we will do a test. You'll take it home with you. And I look forward to knowing your love language. I'll share my results. I've taken that test a couple times. It's usually very similar, but we change throughout life. Sometimes if you're loved well in one category, you start wanting in another. And so it might tend to score a little higher when it's lacking. I'd love to know where you are and who you are. I would love to know that you know who you are so that you can communicate it with those who love you, so that you can say to your loved ones, I could really use this help. I could really use this form of love because it works. Every one of these concepts takes place in Scripture. Gary Chapman, the Reverend Dr. Gary Chapman, this book has been around for 30 years. He just spoke last month in South Bend about this book again. He's written several since, but this is the one that plays over and over. This is the one that is the go-to. These work. They are more than just ideas. They are the manifestation of how we love each other well, how God loves us well, how we fill each other's buckets. Oh, right. Hey. Audio, is it Kindle or? All right. Look at that. That's why we have Wi-Fi on during church. Marty looked it up. There's a free audiobook. So you can play it in your car. You can listen to it on the headphones while you're doing someone else's dishes. It's good. It's not like some deep theological thing. It's stories about couples who struggle, learn their love languages, communicate their love languages to each other, and start focusing the way they love each other in those ways, and they feel loved again. They come to him not feeling loved, but wanting to restore love. as we go through in this Advent season, I invite you to do so in that spirit, knowing that God has a plan and has had that plan from the very beginning to restore love. That the kingdom of God is that when it is realized in its fullness is the moment that we all love each other well. When every person loves their neighbor as they love God and as they love themselves, it's more than an idea. Every one of these ways is a way that God loves us and that we can love God and that we can love each other. Let us do it in Jesus' name. Amen.